Good morning. This is a funny Sunday in the church, as Max has already alluded to. Christmas is still very fresh in our memories, and the story of Christmas doesn't finish just because we reach the 25th of December. I often think of this Sunday as us watching Joseph and Mary heading off to Bethlehem. And that's an odd, off to Bethlehem, off to Egypt. And I'm not going to do it today, but next year I would really like to dig around in what that meant when you consider what Egypt meant for Jewish people. Where did the Exodus occur from? From Egypt. So we're not going to go there today. I want us to hold that story in our hearts. And I'd like us to look forward, because that's what happens in this week. And we have the time and the space to think a little. There's been a lot in the papers because we are clocking over into a new decade. 2020 is nearly upon us. And there's been a lot of talk about what's happened in that last decade. And I want us to think about that a bit as the people of God. One of the indicators that things have changed is that language changes. So I've got a whole heap of new words, new phrases, and I want us to think about what that means for our culture. Can I have a microphone? Because I'm going to ask some people to interpret some words, some phrases. Ah, I thought you had them with you. Thank you. Okay, we'll start with an easy one. Who can translate the phrase binge watch? What are you doing when you binge watch? Okay, it seems Alex would know. What are you doing, Alex?
When you watch things, especially on Netflix, and they just keep playing and playing and playing, and you watch like 10 episodes of one series in a row, it's really not good.
In your pajamas.
In your PJs.
Okay, binge watch, that's an easy one. How about cancel culture? What does that mean? What is cancel culture? Okay, cancel culture. Ah, okay. I was going to depend on you, Alex. I'm so glad you're here this morning.
Sorry, this is what happens when you teach a lot of teenagers. Cancel culture is what happens when somebody makes a mistake, then everyone bands together on social media and goes, hashtag cancel Alex because Alex did something wrong and we're not going to talk to her anymore and she's a horrible person and we're never going to give her a second chance. So that's what cancel culture is.
And it happens to all sorts of people, and universities are becoming a bit notorious for doing cancelling. Okay, here's an easy one. What is Me Too? Come on. Someone define Me Too for me.
To do with sexual assault and women standing up and saying, this has happened to me too.
Yep, thank you. I need to carry my list around with me, don't I? What does it mean to unfriend somebody? Come on, I know you know.
Is it removing them from Facebook or social media?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay, now explain this one carefully, please. What context do people use swipe right? Just bear in mind who's sitting in the room. Do we know what that means? It's used on dating sites. Swipe right, yes please. Swipe left, no thanks. Gaslighting. Does anybody know what gaslighting is? No. Gaslighting is when somebody says this happened. Hang on, someone's waving their hand. Oh, heck no. Somebody says that this happened and another person says no, it didn't, and makes them doubt their own sanity. So it's a pretty cruel thing to do to somebody else. Fake news. Can somebody define fake news for me? Sorry? Okay, Donald Trump. I'm sure other people do it too. Okay, the gig, oops, I've got a microphone. The gig economy, what is it? Give me some examples of the gig economy. Thanks, Mel.
It's short-term pay by the hour, labour hire generally through some kind of internet facilitation.
And what kind of companies are examples of that?
Oh, Uber, various forms, Eats, Drives, etc. And there's a thing to do with getting jobs done, I can't remember what that one's called. But anyway, yeah.
Thank you. There's my list. An influencer. Somebody tell me what an influencer is.
Someone who has influence? I don't know.
And what context are they talking about? Is this somebody who's an influencer in their circle of friends, or is there a particular context for being an influencer?
I would guess they have a large social media following.
Yes, and it can become a business, quite a lucrative one for some people. What about... Oh, now I need a woman to explain this. What does it mean to mansplain? Does anybody know? Okay, go Rosemary.
I'd just like to explain, this is a bit of a sexist term.
It is.
This is not actually a very good feminist thing, and I don't agree with it. I just like to say that. But some people say that men just don't get it. So you've got a mansplain. No, there's two ways. A mansplain would be... Good one.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Sam. Okay, what does it mean to photobomb? Can someone explain what it means to photobomb? Kathy?
It's when someone's getting a photo taken of themselves or a selfie and somebody jumps in the background so that they're in the photo as well.
Yep. Brexit. Who knows what Brexit is?
It was originally the vote for Britain to whether they stayed or went out of the European common market. Now it's just all to do with the hash up of how it happened.
Could be. What about upcycling? What is upcycling? No. Another word for recycling or repurposing, but upgrading the use of it. What's a clean skin? And it's not a bottle of wine. What is a clean skin? No. Somebody with no tats. A very rare creature in a lot of circles. Don't see many of them in cafes. And here's one that a few people might know. What is normcore? Sorry? Normcore. Alex, do you know? No? Normcore is dad dressing, in a wearing dad clothes, but doing it to deliberately make a point. So you have to be young and cool to carry off normcore. Now, why did I ask you all of those things? One of the things that linguists will tell us, and so will sociologists, and so will anthropologists, and so will people who study political science, will tell us that language changes are one of the clearest indicators that culture is changing. And it also is one of the clearest indicators of how that culture is shifting. So the speed and the nature of those linguistic changes If you think about the words we looked at then, how many of them were to do with technology? Technology is driving enormous social change in all societies, particularly in Western society, but if you look at the rate, for example, of mobile phone ownership in a country like India that is really poor, technology is still driving enormous changes there. In another lifetime, when I was a student teacher, the scholarship that I had meant that I had to study linguistics and anthropology and sociology, as well as all my teaching subjects. So I have been watching this for a long time. And then when I went to study, I had to do philosophy as a preamble to my theological study. And then in theological study, they say to us, notice these things, because they will tell you what is happening in the society that you're ministering in. And then when I went to work with Aboriginal people, they commented all the time on changes in language that they noticed in their children. That was one of the indicators for them that their children were retaining culture and also becoming capable in another culture. Migrant parents talk about the same thing. Language indicates the amount of cultural pressure. We are living in times of rapid cultural change. All of those phrases and words that I asked you to define did not exist 10 years ago. That's how rapidly our language is changing. And the younger we are, the less likely we are to know what some of these buzzwords, phrases mean. Social and cultural change can be tiring, it can be frightening, and it can be exhilarating, even terrifying. And those things can come all together. Social change provides new opportunities and new challenges. Historians in our midst who are looking at all of these things and joining the dots say that the change in our times is on a par with the technological and cultural changes that happened during the Reformation. The technology that drove the greatest change in the Reformation was, of course, the printing press, because the way information is shared changed and it flattened out the power structures across Europe. All sorts of people could read, if they could read, the new ideas that people like Martin Luther were putting out. The technology that is around today is driving a change of equal magnitude. Now, we have all sorts of feelings about that kind of social change. So this morning, I would like you, thinking about Christmas, thinking about the cross, and thinking about the changes that you notice, feel, experience, like or dislike in our culture, I would like you to go to one of these two tables. We're not choosing new paint colours for the church, you'll be relieved to know. Red is not an option. Thanks to Dulux and Wattle, we've got all sorts of colour choices here. I'd like you to select two paint chips. One that reflects how you feel about the last decade and the change that you've noticed. And the other one about your hopes for the coming decade. So two chips, one looking back, one looking forward. And both of them lived in the light of who you are in Christ. So I'm going to give you a few minutes now to wander over to these tables and pick up some paint chips. Thanks, Dulux. Thank you.
raided Bunnings.
Yeah. Noted. Okay. I want to think first of all about your feelings about the past decade. Does anybody want to share the colour that they chose looking back to the last decade and why? Go, Paul.
For the last decade, I chose this sort of canary yellow, which was for me like the canary in the mine, I suppose. So many strange things happened, including Donald Trump.
There's a theme there.
And Brexit and a few other things. And also the canary in the mine reminded me of the fire we had down at Victor Harbour when we lost our house. And I thought about the canary, and the canary would have died in that fire. I'm so thankful that no one did die in that fire. It was very gracious that no one did. And then moving on to now, I chose the ocean colour, deep blue, and my wife thought that was dark. But the ocean for me is a place where I really relax and find great peace and comfort. And that might go back to my great-great-grandfather, who was an ocean captain, so I've probably got sea in my blood. And so that was, for me, was a really positive sense of future and a sense of enjoying God's creation.
Thank you.
In a sense, I'm doing this just for the opposite of Paul. I chose a bright blue. When I grew up, we called it Mitchell Blue, and we had Mitchell Blue socks and ties and jumpers. But I like bright colours, and I thought the last 10 years, as far as I was concerned, I thought about it regarding to myself, even though I had my heart problems and all of that. And for the next bit, I can't quite see it, so I had a very nondescript colour that I couldn't describe.
Thank you.
For you? I kind of went by the names of the swatches that I found. I'm the one looking back for the 10 years. I've probably only been aware of the last four, particularly just in my exposure at uni, but I chose a warm neutral colour. And I feel like everybody's kind of heading in very different directions in this culture. But for the next, looking forward, I chose Sunbound, which is a nice yellow colour. And I hope that we can all kind of eventually, as a culture and a society, look towards God and head in one direction instead of kind of in a big melting pot of ideas and things.
Thank you. I'm being overrun. Phil, you love colour. I'm sure you would have chosen something interesting. No.
Yeah, I do love colour, but I really struggled picking something, and I don't like what I've picked. But I went for a dark teal colour because I still like the colour for the last 10 years because there's always positive things, but I went for a dark one because I just don't like the dark, horrible, negative things that have happened. So I tried to go for a mixture there, but I don't like,
What I picked is a really dull, boring colour, which is not me at all. I'd never, ever probably wear that or have it in a house, or probably wouldn't let Carl wear it for shorts. But I actually picked it because I just don't like where technology is taking us, and I despair, in a way, for the next generation. I see what it's doing to kids at school, and I hate what it's doing to education. And so I think that's why I picked that colour.
Thank you.
So sorry for sounding negative.
I asked what you picked and why, so you told us. Thank you. Anybody else?
Yes.
You need that so we can all hear you, Trish.
I chose for the last, what was it?
The last decade.
The last decade, because my grandchildren are growing and I can see the lives that they're going to have ahead. And it was just quite a pleasant, peaceful year for me, but just looking at what's happening in the world and in this country, I'm getting older. I may not be here at the end of the next decade.
We hope
the world's going to get worse.
Look, you have the same thoughts as me. I nearly chose that car.
I'm getting deaf and I can't hear everything that's said, so I have to sit in a corner like a little old lady. And that's about it.
I don't think you'll ever sit in a corner, Trish.
I do.
Anybody else? Lauren.
I chose dark blue for the last 10 years. I don't know why, but it represented education and self-discovery to me. Mm-hmm. And I chose white for the next 10 years because I view the next 10 years as a blank slate, as anything is possible, kind of... there's a horizon at the end of my 8 years of PhD.
There is.
And undergrad and everything. And, yeah, anything is possible.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay. Always, always in life, there are all sorts of possibilities. And particularly for those of us who belong to the living God, irrespective of what happens around us, and there are some things that have been troubling, and there will be things in the future that are troubling. And always across the history of the world, that's been true. But the people of God have lived into whatever challenges are around, out of the revelation of God that is given to us in the scriptures. When I thought about Mary and Joseph heading off to Egypt, I was thinking about what might have been playing through their minds. For the Jewish people, their prayer book, one of the things that formed their imagination was stories. The other thing that formed their imagination was the Psalms. And I've chosen one that I'm sure would have been playing through their minds during the hardest times as the refugee family that they were. And I would like us to say this psalm together. It's one that has an echo. I will say the first part if you together can say the echo. Can we have that up, please, Josie? It's from Psalm 136. And this psalm continues with this echo the whole way through. His love endures forever. That's your part. So let's begin. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him who alone does great wonders, who by his understanding made the heavens, who spread out the earth upon the waters, who made the great lights, the sun to govern the day, the sun and stars to govern the night. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt and brought Israel out from among them with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder and brought Israel through the midst of it, but swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. To him who led his people through the wilderness. To him who struck down great kings and killed mighty kings. Sion, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and gave their land as an inheritance, an inheritance to his people, to his servant Israel. He remembered us in our low estate and freed us from our enemies. He gives food to every creature. Give thanks to the God of heaven. Whatever the next decade holds, this is the truth we live into. God's love endures forever. Jesus has come. We have a future, and it may well run into bumpy patches, but his love endures forever. Let me pray for us. Lord God, our Father, Jesus, and Spirit, go with us into this coming decade. Open our eyes to your glory, to your purposes, and to our bright future. Lord, I pray for the colours of life to enliven our days, for the blue, for the yellow, for the green of growth, to mark our days. Whatever is around us, may we live in the light of the knowledge that your love endures forever. Amen.